Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. This is Nick Wright. That is Chris Canny.
That is Chris Canny, man.
What up, man? Good to see you.
We swapped Chris for a Chris. It won't be hard on us, but we thank you so much for joining us today. Chris Carter is calling a game, so he can't be here.
Arizona, down in Baltimore, Charm City.
I don't think it's going to be much of a game, but it'll be entertaining to listen to CC's commentary.
Yes, we will discuss that later.
And talk about the demise of the Arizona Cardinals.
Maybe pulling off the 13-point upset. I see. Okay.
Nah, you don't see it either. Stop.
No, I don't. No.
All right, big Friday show for you this morning. Jason Garrett is betting big on his quarterback, Dak Prescott. The Saints, they're looking for some revenge against the Rams. We got to start with Thursday night football. Cam Newton and the Panthers hosting Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Bucs. Pick this up in the third quarter. Panthers down 5. Cam keeps the ball on a read option, gets hit, fumbles. Cam was sacked 3 times, did not score a touchdown for the second straight game. All right, let's move to the final offensive possession of the game for Carolina. They need the touchdown here. 4th and inches. They call a direct snap to Christian McCaffrey, who stuffed, does not get the first down, and the Panthers do not get the win. Bruce Arians picks up his first win as head coach of the Bucs, while the Panthers drop to 0-2 this season. Here's Cam Newton after another rough outing.
You're not going to hear no type of reasons why tonight didn't go as planned. I have to be better. No matter what physical condition I'm in, no matter what foot, shoulder, I ain't get the job done tonight, man. And it's frustrating. I wish I could say something other than that. But, you know, that's the facts. And, you know, I'm extremely brutally honest person, you know, with people, and I'm extremely brutally honest with myself. And I guess it's time for me to look myself in the mirror and, you know, do some real soul searching, because I had opportunities tonight and I didn't get it done.
Right now is neither the time nor the place to talk about whatever that getup was on the podium. So let us focus on that drive that drove you so crazy. You tweeted about it immediately, elite Nick. What did you make of what the Panthers called and how it was executed?
Listen, obviously Cam was terrible, and we'll talk about that. Cam, at this point, he's either injured or he's finished. Mm-hmm. I choose to believe it's the former, not the latter. But despite how poorly Cam played, the Panthers had a golden opportunity to steal this football game. A football game they were thoroughly outplayed on both sides of the ball, aside from their kicker, the entirety of the game. They could have stolen it, gotten to 1-1, steadied themselves, as you have a soft part of their schedule coming up. Not much softer, though, than a home game against Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And the Carolina Panthers, on 4th and inches, they didn't even need a touchdown. They needed a touchdown by the end of the drive.
Yep.
But they had less than a foot to get a first down and give themselves 4 shots from the 1 with plenty of time. They ran that play instead of the single most effective rushing play that exists in the NFL for any quarterback. And that's the quarterback sneak. This is something The Ringer had a great article on. It. It's the only thing that old school football guys and analytics people totally agree on. Sneak it on 4th and short. Mm-hmm. Sneak it on 3rd and short. And that is with any quarterback. That's with whether you have Eli Manning, whether you have Lamar Jackson, certainly if you have Cameron Newton, the most physically dominating force we've ever seen at the position. And Canny, even though Cam is clearly injured, his foot's not right, I don't know if his shoulder's right, he can still get a yard.
Yeah.
And for them to, in that moment, decide to go fake Philly special, roll out with Christian McCaffrey, is so nonsensical to me. If people weren't watching the game, it was 4th and 2. There was a pre-snap penalty for an extra timeout on Tampa. It looked to me like Carolina ran the play they were going to run on 4th and 2, even once it became 4th and less than a foot. It's indefensible by Norv Turner and Ron Rivera. And honestly, Cam should have vetoed it at the end. He's the last line of defense. Said, guys, this is what they said. I'm going to go get this yard. But this is tough to come back from 0-2 when they're two home losses, one against the projected worst team in your division. That was an indefensible play call that cost them the game.
Well, let's talk about that, because you said that the Panthers looked like they were going to run the same play on the previous down before Tampa Bay tried to call that second timeout. I mean, they accomplished what Tampa wanted to accomplish in that situation, because they want to get a look at the formation so they can have a game plan going into it. And when the Panthers finally got a chance to run the play, it looked like the Bucs were prepared for it, because they had three defenders sitting out there waiting for Christian McCaffrey's. Vernon Hargraves makes the tackle. They get off the field. But in looking at that sequence of plays in that situation in the low red zone, it felt like the best opportunity to score was that second and 10 when they ran the smash concept and Cam Newton's trying to throw the ball to Curtis Samuel in the end zone for a touchdown, but he can't because he's rushed on the throw by Shaq Barrett. For whatever reason, Ron Rivera and North Turner refused to give Darrell Williams, their left tackle, any help against Shaq Barrett last night, and he wrecked the game for him.
Yep.
I mean, Shaq Barrett had three sacks, a number of quarterback hits. I mean, their offense couldn't get off the ground. I mean, there was one point in the game where they had nine straight failed third down attempts, and Cam Newton had seven incompletions in that stretch. So ultimately, you realize that Cam is not being effective in the passing game in critical downs and distances, but that's because the offensive line isn't giving him time to be able to step into his throw and make an accurate throw.
Okay, so there's a lot to get to with Cam Newton here. At this point, I think we can all agree we're probably not going to see 2015 MVP Cam. We keep waiting for it every season. It doesn't seem to happen. We know that he had off-season shoulder surgery. We know that they tweaked his throwing motion a little bit and he tried to change it. We know what's going on with his foot. He had a foot sprain early in the season. All those things factored in, is it time to panic with Cam Newton and the Panthers now?
It's for the Panthers this season, falling to 0-2 with this loss, I think panic is deserved. For Cam, as far as longevity, I'm not ready to panic yet. Andrew Luck, last year, the first couple games back from missing a season with shoulder surgery, did not look good. In game two last season, I think he had two interceptions, a mid-70s quarterback rating, and then by the midway point of October, he looked like old Andrew Luck. But Cam, no matter if they change his throwing motion, no matter who the offensive coordinator is, he's never going to be a super precise dink and dunk, highly accurate passer. It's not going to be what he in his MVP year, he wasn't that. He has to be able to throw the deep ball, and he has to be a threat running the football to open up some of those throws. Right now, he's neither. Right now, he can't throw an accurate deep ball. You're right. Darrell Williams made Shaq Barrett look like Von Miller last night. And
Taylor Mouton wasn't much better.
And he hasn't run all year. I think he has four rushing attempts on the season, less than 10 yards rushing. If Cam Newton is not a rushing threat, that has always been an enormous part of his success to go along with whatever's going on with his shoulder, then yeah, you would panic about him. If this is who he is moving forward, then you would panic about him. The hope for Cam is that, while he didn't put it on this, that this is about injury more than anything else.
Well, Cam has taken a lot of hits throughout the course of his career. You talked about it since he's come into the league. No quarterback has been hit more, but I think that North Turner and Ron Rivera are trying to protect Cam, and sometimes not calling those design runs, you're trying to save some hits off of him. The one time that they called the design run in last night's game, he ends up fumbling it on it. Now, they caught a break two plays before because it was an interception that was overturned because of a defensive holding call. But ultimately, North Turner and Ron Rivera know that if Cam Newton's not healthy, they have no shot at being competitive this season. You saw what it was in the second half of last year when Cam was banged up. So I understand them wanting to get their quarterback to the next game, but I also understand that it can get late early in your season, especially falling to 0-2. You lost two conference games at home, one in the division. I mean, Nick talked about it before the show in the production meeting. It's a situation where people that were picking the Carolina Panthers to go to the playoffs didn't imagine that the Panthers wouldn't win this early Thursday night game against the Bucs.
Every blueprint, every path to the playoffs involved you win your home game against Tampa. Like, there is no way that you, like me, could pick Carolina to win 10 or 11 games and make the playoffs and had them, you could have them losing to the Rams. You can't have them losing at home to the Bucs. When your defense, by the way, plays quite well, gets a safety, keeps you in the game throughout, and they're going to think about that goal line call all year, because as poorly as Cam played, as poorly as Darrell Williams played, as poorly as the offense was, you are inches away from a first down, 2 yards away from a touchdown, and winning the game. and you try to run some bootleg Philly special.
Yeah, it didn't make sense, but the bottom line is this. The Carolina Panthers had 9 possessions in Tampa territory. They came up with no touchdowns, 0-4 in the red zone. That's unacceptable. You're not going to win a lot of football games that way.
When's the part of the show where we get to talk about what was happening?
Listen, man, Cam,
the bonnet was about as
coming off the
it was
game
about as ugly
the,
as the
as
offense
the
last night.
Hold on, so you want him to bring two outfits? Because he wore that to the game.
I don't want that to be an outfit for any result of any game.
I'll take Cam Newton style.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. Back here on First Things First with former Eagles All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook. Hey, Brian.
What up, man?
Good to see you, sir.
It's Friday. Nice We're getting a day closer to some Sunday football.
Yes, exactly.
Got the fresh jacket on. Crispy.
Trying to be like you when I grow up.
Look at that line. That's the razor edge right there.
You get your hair cut 3 times a week. Don't lie.
Twice a week.
I want to look
at your hair. Your hair is perfect every time I turn the TV on.
That hairline painted on. It looks great. You ain't
4 people on the set, 3 of them, the guys, talking about hair.
Oh, yeah, man. This is interesting. Game recognized game.
Locker room talk.
Eagles will be in Atlanta to face the Falcons Sunday. So according to Fox Bet, Philly's a 2-point road favorite. Perhaps it's because the Falcons were clobbered last week in their season opener. Or perhaps it's because the Eagles are good. Despite what happened to Atlanta last week, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson is not taking them lightly.
I mean, it's a solid defense. When you look at them, you know, that's why you can't go off of last week, because we know this defense. I mean, it's another good test for us offensively. It comes down to execution. How well we prepare this week, but this is a playoff caliber team with a playoff caliber defense.
All right, believe it or not, I mean, you make your choice there. How do you think the Eagles offense matches up against this Falcons defense?
Well, first of all, I love coach talk, and it's always these guys are great, and they just the Falcons just got ran through last week. And so when I look at this, I think the Falcons defense is in a bit of a tough spot. Last week, they get ran for 172 yards. Dalvin Cook, the whole Vikings offense, ran through that defense of the Falcons, trying to get to the edge, things like that. But now you put on the tape of the Philadelphia Eagles, and you see DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, Zach Ertz running down the middle of the field. And so what do you stop? Do you pick your poison and say, okay, we're going to stop the deep pass and give up some run games? Or do you say, oh, we're going to stop the run, which we didn't do last week, and we're going to give it the big passes down the middle? And so to me, the one thing I don't want to happen is I don't want the run game to beat me and Carson Wentz to beat me. So they have to figure out what they want to do. Do you want to stop the run or the pass? Last week they couldn't stop the run. The Falcons defense couldn't. Now they run against an offense that has the ability to throw the ball down the field with Carson Wentz and run the ball with Miles Sanders as well as Jordan Howard. They have to pick the poison. They're in a bad position defensively this week.
Well, here's the thing with the Falcons defense, right? This is an undersized group. They're really built to play with the lead. Where they ran into trouble last week in Minnesota was that the offense didn't do anything with the football for the first 3 quarters of that game. And that defense wore down. And that's why the Vikings were able to have so much success with Dalvin Cook and others with the rushing attack, because you got that big physical offensive line leaning on that undersized Atlanta Falcons defensive front. So I think it's imperative that Matt Ryan and that Falcons offense gets out to a fast start. And you're probably looking at them being able to take advantage of the passing game and the deficiencies that the Eagles have on the back end of that defense. We talk about it, the Eagles being one of the most talented rosters in the NFL top to bottom. Well, the area that they can be got is in the secondary with those defensive backs, mainly their corners. When you look at it, Avante Maddox, Ron Darby, Sidney Jones, those are the guys that you want to go after. When you paid Julio Jones $20 million plus a year and you've got Calvin Ridley, another first-round draft pick, those are the guys, those are the matchups that you want to try to take advantage of. So for me, It's about Matt Ryan being able to get this offense back on track. Until that happens, this entire team is going to struggle because they're built to play football a certain way.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Kenny. You laid it out yesterday. Atlanta's first eight drives, it was like block, punt, interception, three and out, fumble, three and out. It was they got nothing going until it was 28-0 and the game was over. And Atlanta, I know they have a defensive-minded head coach. I don't know if he's actually good at that part of football. I know that that's what his – since he got the job being the D coordinator with Seattle, when back-to-back years they had the best defense in football by far, in Atlanta, that has not transitioned over. Maybe it's personnel. Maybe that's unfair to Dan Quinn. I just know since he's been there, none of us has looked at the Falcons and been like, man, that's a great defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think there have been many years we've even looked at them and said, that's a pretty good defense. So for Atlanta to have any chance, yes, they're going to have to get off to a quick start offense, which I think will address some of your concerns for them on the other end. If they get out to a lead, then you can play the pass more heavy and not worry about Philly running all over you. Because if I'm Philadelphia, even if I hadn't seen week one, I'd go into this game saying, our offensive line against their defensive line, let's see if the big back we got from Chicago, Jordan Howard, can be the guy he was as a rookie. Let's see if we can run the ball repeatedly down their throats early. And that's even more compounded when you saw what an offensive line in Minnesota that's not very good. Mm-hmm. That's the weakness of their team, what they were able to do to this Falcons defense. But if you do focus on that as Atlanta, then D-Jack can hit you over the head. Yep. That's why I think you said it, and I think you're not the only one, of all the offseason moves, aside from maybe Nick Foles going to Jacksonville, the one that could have the most impact on winning games was the DeSean Jackson addition, because while Philadelphia already had such a well-rounded team, the one thing they were missing was the thing DeSean has done better than almost anyone in NFL history. One play, huge strike, touchdown, and you saw that on full display in week one. So it is an element of, this is why Philadelphia's Jenna's Super Bowl pick. There's an element of pick your poison. How do you want to get beat? And so for Atlanta, the only chance they have, and by the way, a game that's, what, a two-point spread? Like, it's not like they're supposed to be blown out in this. They're at home. They're supposed to be a good team. The only chance they have is to make this a track meet, to make Philadelphia keep up with them offensively.
When I look at the last three games between the Falcons and the Eagles are 3-0. Most of all of those games were in Philadelphia. You got to think about this. In those three games, Atlanta only scored 38 combined points, nine sacks, 32 quarterback hits. That means they weren't able to protect Matt Ryan. Philadelphia was able to get after him, even with Julio. I think there was a couple passes where Julio absolutely lost the game for him because he didn't catch those balls. I think Philadelphia, Jim Schwartz's defense has found the answer to Matt Ryan. That means they're pressuring him off the edge, making him quicken up his reads, not allowing Julio to be able to get down the field and dominate the game. That way, that has been helpful for Jim Schwartz and that defense. I think defensively, they continue that same model. Mm-hmm. Allow Fletcher Cox to get in to be a physical man up front. You bring in Malik Jackson with the injury. Now you have to figure out how do you get pressure off the edge. That's what the Philadelphia defense is all about. We're not going to blitz. Last week, they blitzed. They got beat over top. I think this week they go four guys rushing, and they try to get out to Matt Ryan that way.
Well, you talked about the last several games that they played. I think that's enough of a sample size for Dan Quinn to know that this Philadelphia Eagles team is more physical than your team. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it. Bill Parcells used to say this all the time. The worst thing that you can do in this business is fool yourself. And so Dan Quinn has got to know who his team is and who they ain't. And the reality is, I think that the matchup that you can take advantage of is that Philadelphia Eagles pass defense. Since the start of 2018, they're the second worst pass defense in the NFL. And since the same span, the Atlanta Falcons passing attack is the fourth best in the NFL. So that's your matchup that you need to take advantage of. Right. Like Nick said, turn it into a track meet. That's the only shot that they got because the Eagles on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage are a better football team.
But just quickly, when do we start having a Matt Ryan conversation? I mean, how much of...
Years from now, okay. I think. I mean, I think Matt Ryan, he won the MVP a few years ago.
Well, yeah.
Hold on. So he won the MVP in 2016. 2017, he had a bit of a down year. Last year, his numbers were almost identical to the MVP season. Last year was about injury, terrible defense, and some heartbreaking losses early. Listen, I don't think Matt Ryan is some no-doubt Hall of Fame quarterback, mm-hmm. but Matt Ryan, you can't... It's hard to make a list of 10 quarterbacks you'd rather have. You disagree?
Well, I think Matt Ryan has a bunch of talent around him. That's what every quarterback wants. When you have that talent, you have to win. He hasn't won consistently enough. I think that's the biggest thing that I would say about Matt Ryan.
Welcome to my team. It'll be short-lived, I'm sure. Stick around, Brian. Coming up, is it time for the Saints to get over their loss in the NFC Championship? That is next on First Things First.
Week one is in the books, but DraftKings isn't finished celebrating with some huge fantasy football contest. For week two of the football season, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1.5 million in prizes with your first deposit when you put in code FTF during sign-up. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with this football season. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1.5 million in prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FTF. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. New users, don't forget to enter our code FTF to get a free shot at over $1.5 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's code FTF only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Back with Brian Westbrook. We're going viral. Oh, I can't. Cam Newton and the Panthers couldn't get it done on Thursday Night Football, but Cam still had it going on pregame with the snakeskin suit. I'm okay with that. It's the scarf that I have a bit of an issue with.
Anyone can wear anything they want to this game, yep, given what Michael Irvin was wearing calling the game. Playmaker was awesome.
Going after Irv.
Come on, man. I'm allowed to. I love it.
Yeah, you didn't love that shirt.
No, come on.
Irv has some crazy suits now.
Yeah.
But wait, you lose a game the way you lost. People are talking about how if you've fallen off, if you're injured, what, and you're like, and you're sitting there in your locker room going, let me just make sure I get the.
You can walk into the stadium like that, but after you lose again, you need to be in issue a sweat, apparel, a sweatsuit,
right,
with a hat on.
Take that off.
Y'all are ridiculous. What?
Cam, look,
make
no, that was ridiculous.
For that.
No,
make
Cam
a defense
wore.
For
going
that.
Into the game, you want to look fresh, you want to feel good, yes, you want to look good.
I think
you guys have a point with the post game. Listen, all I want to see is a hoodie and a frown. That's it.
Let's scale this thing back a little bit.
Cam said everything right in the post game, right? He put it all on himself.
But who could hear it?
Sometimes what you're wearing speaks louder than what he's saying.
You couldn't hear anything with that scarf. A scarf, Nick.
Jenna Wolf giving these fashion tips.
I'm with you, Jenna. I have two outfits.
Show outfit and workout outfit. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. And you're out here criticizing
fashion
icon.
All right, moving on.
Fashion icon.
If you liked last season's NFC Championship game, you will love the 425 game on Fox this weekend because it's a rematch of that one. Saints and Rams. Last season's game now lives in infamy because of arguably the biggest blown pass interference call in the history of the game. The one that some say cost the Saints their season. The one that caused a rule change this offseason. Here's what Saints quarterback Drew Brees had to say when asked if he's gotten over the blown call.
Still haven't, never will. But when you say forgotten about it, I mean, you know, you have to find a way to compartmentalize it to the point where, you know, you can move on in a positive way. And so I found a way to do that. But as far as just, you know, the events, you know, you live and learn. And, you know, sometimes things don't go your way and you got to find a way to come out better on the other side. We can put together all the storylines we want. I mean, bottom line is, they're a really, really good football team. They have the same goals and aspirations we do. You know, we just happen to be the two teams last year that were, you know, kind of at the top and had a chance to play in that NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. You know, unfortunately, that one didn't go our way.
All right, Brian, we talked about this a little earlier, and Chris Kenny, like this, had a running list of all the things that perhaps didn't quite go his way. He remembers them in detail. As a player, are you like Drew Brees? Are you sort of keeping a running tab on all the ways you guys have lost or tough losses over the years?
I think all players do that, and I think back to my rookie year. We lost to Tampa Bay at home, NFC Championship game. Rondé's running down the field. The entire crowd in the link is silent as Rondé's running down the field for a touchdown. I think think back to the Carolina game we lost, the NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl we lost. All of those terrible memories. And so I think as a player, you use that as a chip on your shoulder. A couple years ago, the Eagles were the underdog. That was the dog mask. You use those types of things to motivate you just a bit. In the offseason, that's what you need. You need that type of motivation to get up and go work out every single day. And so now you move forward. Now they have the opportunity to avenge that. Now they have the opportunity to go out into their house and win the game there the same way that the Saints lost their game at home against the Rams last year. To me, it comes down to a couple of different things. Can you get a run game? Can you get Alvin Kamara involved in a run game? Obviously, no Mark Ingram. Can you slow down the Rams offense that way? Can you do that? The other part is, the last is Marcus Peters and Talib played against Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas
ate him up.
Well, Mike Thomas in week 9 ate him up. 211 yards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the NFC Championship game, 7 targets, only 4 catches, 36 yards. And so can you get him going? That's how your offense gets going. Also, last thing, can you protect Drew Brees? Can you make sure that he's not in a position that Aaron Donald is affecting this game the entire game, especially hands in his face, right in the pressure in his face? Can you do that? If you can do those things, I think the Rams are in a bad way. But I think that, you know, listen, Drew Brees is a special quarterback. We understand that. I think the Rams have the ability. That offense with Kupp and Cooks as well as Woods, they have the ability to put up a lot of points, especially at home. I'm worried about the Saints' defense, especially the secondary, because I didn't think Lattimore was that good last week.
Well, so you mentioned Aaron Donald, and so something interesting from the playoff run through week 1's 4 games, 0 sacks, 10 total quarterback pressures. That is after over the previous 2 regular seasons, averaging over a sack a game and nearly 7 quarterback pressures a game. So one could argue, and I think it's probably the right argument, it's that in the playoffs, teams were like, Aaron Donald is not going to ruin us. Mm-hmm. In week 1, for the Rams, the Carolina Panthers said Aaron Donald is not going to. I don't think he's fallen off as a player, but he has been neutralized in his last 4 football games. So that is one thing to watch. For the Saints, I understand that there is an element of devastating loss that the two of you can, any guy that actually played can remember and pull on that I cannot, having not played. I get that part of it. I do wonder if it stops being constructive, however, once the offseason ends and you're into the next season. If it stops being something where it's one thing for it to be fuel for you to get better. It's another thing for you to be thinking about what ifs when you're in the midst of your next opportunity, which the only thing you can control is what's next, not what went in the past. And we saw the Saints had a wonderful ability to get over what I would consider an equally devastating loss the previous season with the Minneapolis Miracle. Now, that one was different in that was an error by one of their players instead of an error by the official, but there was an error by one of their players in that NFC Championship game loss too. Yep. They won the coin toss and Drew Brees threw a pick.
Yes. Yep.
Or else they could have gone to the Super Bowl. I think the Saints are better than the Rams. I think the Saints, they took a half to get going against the Texans, but in the second half, Drew Brees, 80% completions, 143 rating. The defense played really well, that one Deshaun Watson drive notwithstanding. So I think the Saints should win this game. I don't think it'll be very much, though, because of how they lost the last time these two teams played.
Yeah, exactly. What happened last season is not going to have any bearing on what happens in this actual game. Now, if the players want to use what happened last year as motivation, as something to make them be more dialed in throughout the course of the week in their preparation, then I think it can be a positive. But once the ball is kicked off on Sunday at, 4:25 Eastern, once that happens, you have to focus on trying to slow down that Rams offense and dictate the complexion of the game. I believe this will be a fourth quarter game because both of these teams are good. And so if it gets to the fourth quarter and is close, you would probably give the edge to Sean Payton and Drew Brees. But in seeing how the NFC Championship game played out, those guys were in a fourth quarter game and ended up being on the losing side of it. So I think they have to learn the lessons from the end of that game and manage it a little bit better. The play calling and the sequencing of plays has to be better. I thought it was inexcusable what Sean Payton did after the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter of that NFC Championship game, calling a pass early in the downs to Michael Thomas. It was an incompletion. It stopped the clock for the Rams. They only had 2 timeouts left. You could have ran the ball 3 times, kicked the field goal, and then kick off with very little time left on the clock and forced the Rams to drive the length of the field to try to get in field goal range. Instead, you end up losing that game. Now, it went to overtime, but you still ended up losing that game. I thought he could have did a better job of giving his team an opportunity to close that one out. But, I mean, in looking at these two teams, what it comes down to is, Are the Saints going to be able to slow down that Rams offense? Are they going to be able to put the game on Jared Goff's shoulders and take it out of Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown's hands? To me, if they're able to do that, if that defense is able to be better against the run, then I think that the Saints have a really good chance to go on the road and get a huge win in the NFC.
I think it's kind of funny that we haven't mentioned until your last sentence anything about Todd Gurley and his ability to control the football game. Only 14 rushes last week. I still think they're trying to save him just a bit. But I think Todd Gurley, this is a huge game for him.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you look at week one against Carolina. They didn't use him a lot the first three quarters. Nope. But in the fourth quarter, 8 carries for 64 yards. He was able to close the game for him.
Yeah, if you want to keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands, you run the football a little bit more. Todd Gurley is going to be huge in this game. He had no impact in that NFC Championship game. This is a bounce-back week for him. You're talking about guys that are circling games. To me, if I'm Todd Gurley, I'm circling all of these games where I had no impact in the latter point of last season. This is a great opportunity for him against a defense that I think you can have some success running the football against.
All right, got to take a break. Brian, we'll see you later in the show. Coming up, would you rather have Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson? That's next on First Things First.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, we'll get to Kyler and Lamar in just a second, but first, a little Thursday night football. Curtis Samuel making the adjustment for a 44-yard catch.
If Cam puts that a little further out there, they're talking about putting up 6 and not putting up 3. That was a missed opportunity right there in the passing game. We talked all offseason about Cam and his new throwing motion. Came up just a little bit short last night. He was inaccurate on a lot of throws. You saw some passes sail, some underthrown, some thrown behind the receiver. That's an opportunity in the passing game that you just can't miss.
More from this one. Jameis Winston, a perfect ball to Mike Evans in stride for 41 yards.
A really impressive bounce-back game from Jameis. I know they didn't put up a ton of points. They obviously put up enough to win. But Jameis, after having as poor of a game as you possibly can have in week one, bouncing back against what I think is a good Carolina defense, even though the secondary didn't look it a lot of last night. Chris Godwin running open Mike Evans with that play.
Here we go, Greg Olsen pulling in the one-handed spinning catch. Again, probably not a great throw. A great catch, though.
Great catch by Greg Olsen. I don't know how he continues to do it at a high level, being in the NFL as long as he has. But, I mean, he's clearly the safety blanket for Cam Newton. They tried to target him a lot, especially early on in that second half. Just not enough for the Carolina Panthers offense. But Greg Olsen had a good game.
11th career 100-yard game for Greg Olsen last night. And that's just another one of those inaccurate passes from Cam. Oh, my God.
Finally,
goodness.
San Diego high school basketball star, 9th grader Mikey Williams, finishing the nice windmill dunk.
All right, Chris Caney out here claiming that this is what he was looking like in 9th grade. a video where it didn't happen, Cam. Your big self windmilling, I believe you can dunk because you're 7'2". But the idea that you were windmilling on anything past the little tykes who,
whoa,
I don't
whoa,
believe
whoa,
you.
Whoa, 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 chill whoa, out. Whoa, just whoa, because whoa. You're not athletic, don't try to put that on me. Listen, we have evidence that I was a baller in high school. There is evidence out
football.
There. I have to bring in the tape,
okay.
But we got evidence.
I bet you I can produce a video of me dunking before you produce one of you dunking.
Wow, like okay, you're
okay.
Right.
Oh, no, okay.
You're
by
right.
The end of the show.
You're
go ahead,
right.
Jenna.
All right, here we go. Speaking of ballers, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, the two former Heisman winners, will be facing off at 1 Eastern on Fox. Our guy Chris Carter will be on the call. Earlier this week on our show here, Lamar was complimentary of Kyler. Now Kyler's head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, had some very positive things to say about both of the young quarterbacks. Said, in my opinion, there are two guys that can be the future of the sport if they continue to progress and put in the work and the time. They have all the tools. They have the competitive nature. Their entire lives, all they've ever done is win and been on the best player on the field. That's the way it can go if they're willing to put in the work. Nick, who would you rather have moving forward, Kyler or Lamar?
I think I'm in the drastic minority here because Lamar was a player that almost fell out of the first round entirely, final pick of the first round. Kyler was the number one overall pick of the draft. But for me, this is an easy answer, and the answer is Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson has the potential to be a high-level, multi-year NFL starter. I'm not sure if Kyler Murray is going to have a multi-year career as a starter. Now, he'll be in the league for a long time, but I don't – I need to see it before I can believe it with Kyler, and that would be with any quarterback his size, because we've never seen it done. And it has nothing to do with week one. I don't care how you play your first game as a rookie, new offense, rookie head coach. I know how great he was in college football, but we have seen plenty of guys around his size be great in college football and not even get a chance to play in the NFL at that position, much less steward a franchise, trade their previous number one draft pick for this number one draft pick. I think Lamar is showing the progression of a guy who can be a dynamic weapon in this league. He already is one of, I would say, the two fastest players to ever play quarterback. He and Michael Vick are the two fastest guys we've seen as essential year one starters. And what he showed last year in limited throws, Warren Sharp talks about this a lot, that his efficiency numbers compared to non-running quarterbacks as rookies compare favorably. And what he showed you in week one, I know it's against Miami, and I know Miami was bad, but if you actually watch the game, it's not like those receivers were all running wide open. Those were dimes. Those were great passes. Those passes to Hollywood Brown, he had no offseason with Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown was injured in the offseason, injured in preseason, and he had an instant rapport. So right now, I am buying even more stock in Lamar. I don't have any to sell in Kyler because I never bought it in Kyler. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong, by the way, because he seems like a great young man, and I'd love to see that style of quarterback get to the NFL and that size issue not be a size issue. But we were talking off the air, Canny, a minute ago, you and Brian Westbrook saying how he'd look across the line of scrimmage, see your 6'8 self with his intimidating face mask, say, what are you kidding me? This is a league where big people matter, and Kyler's the smallest we've ever seen trying to do it. So for me, the answer is clearly Lamar.
No, I mean, you didn't tell a lie in that statement, but the one thing I will say, with the changes in the rules and the evolution of today's game and having more influence from the college ranks infiltrate the NFL, I think if you're going to have a quarterback that's under 6 feet, this presents the best opportunity for him to have success. But in looking at the two guys, I think it's way too early to judge which one will be the better quarterback. We just don't have a large enough sample size. Lamar Jackson, what does he have, nine starts?
Nine career starts.
And then Kyler Murray is coming off of his first career start. Now, I mean, both of them have shown flashes, and I mean, Lamar Jackson looked really good last week. He looked really good in the second half of the 2018 season, where he guided his team to a 6-1 record in the regular season. Now, it was ugly in the playoff game. The Chargers threw some wrinkles at him he wasn't prepared for, but I just think it's way too early to judge both players. But the one thing I will say is this. If you look at the two organizations, you'd probably say that Lamar Jackson has a better chance of realizing full potential than Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals. Earlier this week, Colin said it on The Herd. He said that players don't necessarily win championships. It's organizations that win championships. Now, while I don't fully agree with that statement, there is an element of truth to it, because you do have to have the structure in place so that guys can go about the business of preparation and actually improving as an individual player. So I think that Lamar Jackson has it all out there in front of him. You trust the stability of the organization, the coaching staff with John Harbaugh, and them building a system around him. You know, we don't know what Cliff Kingsbury is going to be as a head coach. Right. We don't know what this offense is going to be at the NFL level. So I still think there are some serious question marks in the desert. There are some serious hurdles for Kyler Murray to clear that Lamar Jackson is not going to have to deal with.
No, it's such a good point. He's got a better structure around him. He's got a better protection. He's obviously got an incredible defense to really help them out. You've got a proven coach that's been there. It's a winning organization compared, obviously, to what he's got in Arizona. And also for Lamar, what a great way to start the season if you're looking to build some confidence against Miami and Arizona, probably two of the least talented rosters in the league. That's got to sort of give Lamar a little confidence as he's getting ready to dive into the season.
For sure. I would also argue for Arizona, for Kyler's confidence, coming back the way they did in your first NFL game, to be dead in the water for three quarters, to be down 18 points going into the fourth quarter, or not going into, but early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. But and that after a very shaky first.
Right, but
quarters.
I actually think that almost I almost think that works in his benefit, that he could play that poorly and that
he'll
offense could be that
back
poorly early and they come back. Now, your point on organizational structure, totally agree. Your point on the Ravens can beat you 13-10 because of their defense. The Cardinals are not going to be able to do that. They don't have the personnel to do that. I totally agree. The point I'm making is, if both these teams contracted and they didn't exist, and if I were just roster unseen, asked, which quarterback do I want? They're both available to me, Lamar or Kyler. I would rather have Lamar. I think you can build a team around him more easily. Now, I think that is the drastic minority opinion. Yeah. Draft status shows that the Arizona Cardinals would not have traded the number one overall pick for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I just think over the course of their careers, Lamar has a much better chance at being a high-level player, while I think Kyler's got some work to do to prove that at his size, he can even be an everyday NFL starter.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.